Hey, Mark, what do you want to drink today?
Well, that's a great question, Dan. I'll tell you what I want to drink. I want to drink to something. I want to drink to podcasts.
That's a fine idea.
Because we've been really busy for the last year.
We have.
We just haven't been busy on the Practical Still podcast.
We have not. No. Shamefully, I would say.
Shamefully. Because I like it.
I do too.
And I want to do things that I like and that you like.
Yeah.
But we have been doing stuff. The YouTube channel, grown tons. Our bike content, you know, for those of our whiskey drinkers that also, and not at the same time, ride bikes. Dawn Patrol MTB is rolling.
Yep.
Slogan, the fast ride's growing. You've been doing podcasts. I guess we have because I get to edit them.
Yes.
There have been those podcasts, but we've been lax on the whiskey podcast.
We have. We've done our live stream every Friday at 2:30 Mountain Time, which is fun, but it's not a podcast.
It is easy to be consistent when the thing you're trying to be consistent about is drinking whiskey with friends on Friday.
Yes.
But we haven't done the podcast. So we want to get back to that.
Yep.
And to answer your original question, what I want to drink today kind of is the throwback for us because Deerhammer was, I guess, a year and a half ago we went to
Una Vista. It was in May of some year.
May of some year that wasn't this year and wasn't 10 years ago.
Right.
Kind of started us on that quest or a more honest approach to craft distilleries. And my wife and I were there yesterday.
Nice.
And so I picked up Progeny 3.
Progeny.
I don't know whose progeny. I guess it's Lenny's progeny.
This kind of sounds scandalous.
It does. But as we get back to the podcast.
Yeah.
And we got some good stuff coming. I thought this would be fun because this is different. You know, we got on that kick a while back, kind of like where we were complaining about small distilleries when Lenny heard us and brought us in and straightened us out. We also got on a thing where we didn't really dig finished whiskeys for a while, and we've come back a bit. This just sounded exciting.
So
this is Lenny's American Single Malt, 2 years in the oak, comes out, goes into ex mead casks, spends two more years there. That sounded fun.
You know, as somebody who has stuck straws directly into some of Lenny's barrels, I can say with some certainty that this is about to get interesting over here.
Yes. So I'm excited for that. So I thought this would be a good one for us to just to kind of reintroduce or reinvigorate.
The podcast. Yeah. Welcome back. Yeah.
So hopefully we'll, you know, I didn't get to see Lenny. We were there yesterday. But I did get to see some of his whiskey and I brought it home. And then just to keep that going for Friday.
That's an awkward pour.
I wish somebody could see that. I've also set up a new little podcast recording studio and pinned us both behind big microphone stands.
Yeah, we're not in the world headquarters.
We're not. We're in the I will call it a satellite office.
The satellite office,
which is my house and the office where a lot of the content gets produced.
It's true, or
edited at least.
And we also have a lot of key components. We have guitars and amps, and
we have all the core stuff. We have lots of whiskey, a variety of glassware, guitars, amplifiers, ukuleles, more electronics than you can shake a stick at.
This is more temperature controlled, though.
It is a more comfortable environment year round. That's correct.
Neither of us have spilled oil or gas on each other since we got here.
I don't even have any of that.
Yeah, there's no motorcycle parts hanging about.
No motorcycle anything.
Well, we're sipping Progeny.
We're sipping Progeny.
All right.
Excited.
That sounds weird. We're sipping Deerhammer. All right. Let's talk about the old Deerhammer here.
There's that familiar chocolatiness. On the nose.
If you go back and watch some of our videos from our foray into the Deerhammer World HQ.
Which is a good thing to do because there's quite a bit of video content there.
But Lenny actually brought out some chocolate to pair with the whiskeys because he was talking a lot about the chocolate notes.
I remember that differently. There was some chocolate that you appropriated.
I ate most of it, we'll say. But boy, the nose of the... And not just chocolate, like cocoa beans almost, you know, like a really raw kind of chocolate.
Yeah, but there's a... I don't know that off the bat I'd recognize that as a finished whiskey on the nose.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't go immediately to sweet or finished.
Which I'm excited about because what you don't want is the Kool-Aid flavor.
Right, right. No, I mean, that chocolate is almost an overwhelming smell. It's really good.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
That is fabulous.
Okay.
Now we got a little honey action going.
That's evolving as it goes over my tongue. It's almost annoying how good Lenny's stuff is because we moaned and groaned so much about like new whiskeys.
Well, but we found others too. I mean, yeah. we found other locals, even yeah. Bolder Spirits we found because we mm-hmm. opened our eyes a little bit. But you're right. It's almost a little bit, all right, stop it. That's enough of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're okay. You proved us wrong. Enough. You know, no, this is really good.
That finish is mm-hmm. just, I don't even know.
It's still there. It's like a crackly, like a Nestle Crunch kind
yeah.
of. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's really interesting.
But it's got some floral note to it. Mm-hmm. It's fabulous.
So what did you pay for this bottle and can you get this on the shelf?
So I actually had messaged Lenny. I think maybe he misunderstood. He thought I, because the original, or at least the last progeny that's still on their website, it was not, I don't think it was available at the distillery. It was at select Colorado retailers. And he said, that's what this would be. I don't mm-hmm. think he, of course, I didn't say it correctly, that I'd be coming to the distillery. So there's select Colorado gotcha. Liquor stores that'll have it. And it's at the distillery.
Mm, okay.
So this I paid $75 for it. Ooh, that's 102 proof. That's
pretty, worth every penny.
That's pretty easy sipping for 102 proof.
You know, and honestly, just given some of the bottles that I've bought recently,
you had a rough stretch.
I did. And yeah. and I think that just really, again, brings us back to the core of what the practical still is. I've had a rough stretch of buying bottles that are in that $60 to $80 range that have just been not good. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we tend to walk into liquor stores, look at that top shelf and say, okay, that's expensive. I'll buy it. And that is just not a good way to buy whiskey.
No.
And I think we've really proven that this year. Or I have. Whatever year this is, I'm not sure where we are right now. But I've had some pretty rough luck with some expensive bottles. So it's A, nice to know that we can find bottles that are in the $15 to $45, $50 range that are excellent. And B, find bottles that are $75 from the local guys that are excellent.
That if it was $100, I'd still buy it.
Exactly. And we had the similar experience with Bolder Spirits recently.
Yeah. I'll tell you this too. As this sit here, as I listen to you just, you know, go on.
Perambulate. No, that's walking. Yeah.
There is definitely, and maybe, I don't know that I'd know this if I didn't know it was finished in a mead barrel. And if you're not into mead, it's essentially a fermented product from honey. It has definitely got a honeycomb. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't even. That's just delicious.
Mm-hmm. There's like an earthy nature, natural bit to it.
Yeah, there's definitely an earthiness to it. Mm-hmm. You know who's going to love this?
Who's that?
Our friend Jacob.
Jacob, that's
he
right.
Makes mead.
He makes mead.
He does.
Jacob, where are you?
In fact, I don't know that I'd even know how to identify a mead flavor if it wasn't for him sharing some mm-hmm. of the mead he makes.
Right.
Which I don't know that he can really control how much alcohol's in there because. He'll tell you it's 6 or 7%, and then one glass down, the room's spinning.
Yeah. I think he said 67%.
67, yeah, not 6 or 7.
Yeah.
60.
Yeah. No, I don't immediately pick up the mead flavors. It's just that overwhelming chocolate to me.
But the chocolate, though, here is you know, a lot of chocolates will have orange in it, like mm-hmm. an orange. This is a similar vibe to me where there's a chocolate note to it.
Mm-hmm.
With a lemon or maybe it's a honey or a floral honey.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hint in the background. Quite good.
Yeah, you're right. There's some sort of a pleasant zest to it almost.
So you can spend $75 or $100 and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
As you proved, you can spend lots of money and not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the premise of why we started this podcast holds. There's good whiskey that just doesn't cost a lot. We've both settled recently on... If it's not better than a bottle of Wild Turkey 101 for $23, mm-hmm. what are we even talking about?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's because it's not better. It's different. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm spending $150 on something and I drink it and go, I'd just soon be drinking Wild Turkey.
Right.
Why am I not drinking Wild Turkey?
Yeah. And I always go to my cabinet and I think, okay, what am I going to drink tonight? And it's always the same things because I know at this point, right? But then the other night, I was just telling my wife this the other day, I have so many bottles on the shelf right now because of all the bottles that I was buying. Mm. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give a lot of these a chance. And I just kept pouring a little sip, chucking it in the yard. pour a little sip, chucking in the yard.
Too bad.
Yeah. So my wife was like, what are you going to do with all those bottles? I was like, ooh, that's a good question.
Well, it's a good question. You know what I decided to do with some recently because of Friday Sips Live, we both opened a lot of bottles because if we're going to sip something new every Friday, we're opening a lot of bottles. Now, yeah. I think I counted before one of those episodes and I was at 39 open bottles of.
Yikes.
And that's just sipping whiskeys.
Yeah.
You know, if you go downstairs here, there's all sorts of things we make cocktails with that aren't whiskey. That's too many open bottles. So we're going to sample some out. We're going to share on a broader. We have a core group of folks that show up every Friday and support us.
Yep.
We're going to share with them.
You could be one of them.
You could be one of them. There's no limit on that other than when I finally drink through the couple of hundred bottles of whiskey that reside in this house with us and the dog. And that's exciting. The other thing that's going to be different with the podcast is we've never had guests before.
Mm-mm.
So I did a couple episodes with my friend Stacy, but still she was filling in for you.
Right.
We've never had guests. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a few guests. We're going to start local-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So our first guest will be Jess Graber, one of the co-founders of Stranahan's and the founder of Tin Cup Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have him on. Hopefully we'll get somebody from Boulder Spirits on. We've talked a lot with them recently.
Yes.
And we'll go from there. But I think we're going to try and have different takes. So maybe we'll get liquor store owners on.
Yeah, we have had a guest before.
We did.
We're drinking them right now.
Lenny. That's right.
Yeah.
We did. We did
Lenny
that
at Deerhammer.
Lenny, I'm so sorry. I probably forgot you because I didn't get to see you yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. We did have a.
Yeah.
Although that felt more like we were his guest.
More or less. Yeah. Yeah, we were sipping his whiskey.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, in that vein, we're going to have guests. We're going to restructure things. And the ultimate goal is, of course, to make it entertaining, but also useful.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the bottles that have been pleasant surprises, because it's easy to dog on some of the ones that that I bought that were not good.
True.
But there were a couple gems in there.
Let's not name those ones you didn't like. Let's not talk about the most foul thing ever bottled under the guise of whiskey.
Yeah.
The Cream of Kentucky.
Well, let's not talk about the Cream of Kentucky.
Bottled in Bond Rye.
Right.
That was foul.
That was, it's not even worth naming it.
No. I'll tell you my most disappointing bottle, and this is not where you wanted to go. I apologize. Mm, yeah. My most disappointing bottle that I paid for is the Hidden Barn.
Yeah.
I'm such a huge fan of Jackie's Eye Candy.
Yeah.
It was, when I sipped that, I cried.
It was not good.
It's not good. It wasn't a health risk like that Kentucky, the Cream of Kentucky is, but definitely disappointing. But what about the good ones? What were the surprises?
Okay. Well, here's one. If you follow us on Fridays, you know that when we opened the Prideful Goat, I did not like it.
Correct.
But in subsequent experiences with it, it's actually quite good.
Yes.
And I'm having a moment with MGP Rise, because we often dog on MGP bourbons that are just, you know, they're okay. They're not anything special. The Rye's a different animal. And I'm actually kind of happy now with that Prideful Goat bottle.
There was somebody that opened that bottle with you that said in the moment, you need to give this a chance. It's actually pretty good.
But I don't listen to that person.
Which is a shame, because often I'm the only one talking to you.
That's true. Yeah.
But it was good. But I'll tell you, the reason I will give MGP Rye a chance was because early in my whiskey experiences, a liquor store owner pointed me to an Old Scout 7-year-old barrel-proof rye whiskey that's MGP. And it was, I mean, I can close my eyes now and still taste it. It was quite good. So I will always give MGP Rye a chance. And we've had a couple since then that they're pretty good. And we'll get into that with Jess, because one of the offerings they have is a rye whiskey.
Yeah.
And it comes from MGP. So that'll be an interesting thing to taste.
Absolutely. And so I think that's been, you know, we're getting toward the end of the year. We've drank a lot of whiskey this year. And I think that's one of the takeaways for me this year is that even after all the bottles that we've tasted, you know, you can still keep an open mind and find something different and good that you wouldn't expect. And I think for me, MGP Rye is a different beast entirely. And I think that's worth, if you're going to seek out MGP, I mean, personally, I think the Rye is where I would invest a little bit of money.
Yeah. And I don't think either one of us ever says MGP's bad or crap. It's not. It's just that given the price of some of these sourced whiskeys that we know, they just buy the barrels, put it in the bottle, put the label. It's just not worth the money. Yeah. And we both had some really enjoyable MGP bourbons,
true,
but it's just nothing's ever to this date. And look, I'm wide open. If somebody's out there is going to send samples of an MGP whiskey that blows you away, send them.
Yeah.
But I just personally haven't had one like that
where
I drank that and went, okay, that was mind blowing versus something that comes from somewhere else that is a little different.
Yeah.
the rye's different to me. And part of the reason the rye's different is the way it's positioned. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Kentucky style rye, where it's just barely a rye. There's 51% or 2% or 3% rye in the mash bill. Mm-hmm. I'm also a big fan of some of the Canadian produced, like Whistle Pig 10 is 100% rye from Canada. The 95.5 mash bill, 95% rye, 5% malted barley at MGP sits in that range where not a lot of others. Some have started to use that setup, mm-hmm. but that's why I tend to give that a chance. And more often than not, I enjoy it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you still go into liquor stores and find yourself hesitating to try something that you've never seen it before? Like the example I'm thinking of is I recently saw I forget the name. It was like Ben Holiday. It's a Missouri whiskey, bottled in bond. And it was supposed to, it's getting good reviews, but I looked at it and I said, ooh, I don't know. It's like $60-something. I still have that hesitation.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And partly because, I don't know, we haven't, and this is something I need to do a better job of. You know, we're not really on the media sample train mm-hmm. yet. And so we're paying for all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's just a limit. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you open that closet right there, I grew out of my cabinet downstairs, which the original deal with my wife was I stopped buying whiskey when that cabinet was full. It spilled over and got into all the other furniture. You know, we can't buy everything.
So if I reach into this chair, will I pull out like
there'll be a bottle of whiskey right, somewhere. Sweet. I'm stuffing them all over the place.
Whoa, Pappy.
You won't find that. But anyway, I do hesitate because I haven't burned often. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always surprised, even after this year. And I bought a couple of stinkers, not as many as you had to buy, but
yeah.
I'm still surprised at how reasonable or enjoyable most whiskeys are, as long as you know, you stay away from blended bourbon whiskey. That's different than a blend of straights and all that stuff. But you stay away from the stuff that just doesn't have a chance.
Right.
It's hard to go too far wrong.
Yeah.
But I still hesitate at $50-$60. If they were $25-$30, I mean, that's a rounding error as much stuff as I screw up. Mm. I'd do it, but I don't know. It's still hard sometimes.
Do you have an age limit? Like I see something that says aged at least 2 years and I'm like, nope.
No, I got cured of that. You know, Lenny helped cure us of that. Yeah. Especially when we tasted his new make, mm-hmm. which I've bought new, White Dog or whatever from that you can buy off the shelf. But, mm-hmm. but when we went to visit Lenny at Deer Hammer the first time, that was the first time that I got to sip whiskey and know a couple of days ago, this didn't exist.
Yeah.
It rolled off the still. And that was a mind-blowing kind of thing. And then he walked us through, they were experimenting with the 4-grain bourbon recipe, and we got to taste 6-month-old. Mm-hmm. And it's like, holy smoke, that's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I get where that's going to go. And then he talked about that dip. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always a point where there hasn't been yet enough time for everything to happen, so you're off that new make train. So that's been interesting. But no, I'm now willing to try other things. If it's 2 or 3 years old, long as they're honest about it. Mm-hmm. I think when you try and hide stuff, that still bothers me. Yeah. But I'm willing to try younger stuff.
Yeah, I think it comes back to, again, just the money you have to invest in that. And for me, having spent a lot of money on bottles that I did not like this year, I think I'm a little hesitant. But I did take that lesson, too, and to be more open-minded about it. And I did, like, I kind of swung the other way because I was so burnt by these bad bottles, I just ended up buying a lot of Booker's when I saw it.
Yeah.
And I think I've reached my pinnacle of Booker's.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. But I think you got to be open. Mm-hmm. But it's that we buy a lot of whiskey, but I think that still puts us in the same position as part of the market we're trying to serve with mm-hmm. the practical still is if you're new and coming in and it looks expensive, and you don't know what to do. I mean, at that point, I don't know what to do. Should I buy that bottle? Should I give it a chance? You can't return them.
Right.
You know, it's a hard position to be in. So I think it's important for us to bring people to places where we know they can be happy.
Right.
Like, for instance, if you don't like this whiskey, you probably just don't like bourbon.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But by the same token, you can't buy everything.
Yeah.
And you got to give some stuff a try, but you know, you need a safe space to go.
Well, and also, like, if you think about this on like a percentage basis, we haven't been burned by a truly bad bottle all that much.
No.
We've had some pretty like meh, you know.
Yeah, there's certainly some that maybe I don't like.
Right.
We don't always agree, but there's certainly some bottles that the market likes that mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in. That's meant to happen. We all have a little bit different taste and things, but I think there's just surprisingly few really poor bottles.
Right.
Poor bottles.
Pour your bottle in here because I'm
going to not talk for a second.
I'm out of whiskey and I'm going to have some more of the, what is this called? Progeny.
Progeny 3.
Progeny 3.
Series 3.
His third child. All right. So
its sub name is the Honeycomber.
The Honeycomber.
So finished in ex mead cask. Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, that's another local thing. So that's a collaboration with Redstone Meadery.
Oh, yeah.
I did not realize there was a thing called a meadery.
Redstone Meadery? I think they're in Boulder, actually. They used to be around the corner from, well, there used to be, I don't know if it's the Redstone Meadery, but it is a Redstone Meadery.
Based on the little logo on there, it looks pretty impressive. It probably is the Redstone Meadery.
Well, it was right around the corner from where I used to work.
I kind of said that like meadery. Now I'm hungry.
I know. Let's get some burgers. We're very easily distracted.
We are. But look, we're back on the podcast train.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get these done regularly. We don't know what regularly means.
Yes.
We're excited to have additional guests on, not the first guest. Mm-hmm. Lenny was the first guest.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have more people. And not every time. Sometimes it'll be just us figuring out what matters that week. This stuff is...
It's really good.
It's quite good.
Are you... okay, so here's a question for you. All you're listening. All of you listening. Are you a potential guest?
Oh,
in,
yeah.
In which case, you should... come on the show.
You know, if you say that, we're gonna have to have Larry on.
That would be splendid.
Larry's as close to a super fan as we have.
I think we should definitely have Larry on.
He is also quite a fine co-producer.
Yeah.
He points out more shit we're doing wrong.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. We should occasionally have Scott on too, just to have some funny stories interspersed, you know.
Yeah. We can have anybody on.
All our regulars.
You know what? It's our podcast. We can do anything we want.
Yeah, that's right. We can have you on, people.
It's not all about the famous people.
Yeah. The famous people who show up on Friday to drink with us.
Well, look, Jess Graper's a well-known personality. He wants to hang out with
That's
us.
That's true. We are pretty
Lenny
cool.
reached out to us.
And Jess said, and you'll hear this in the podcast, he told us flat out, and write this down, that we're cool guys. He said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm putting that on a shirt. I think that's...
It's better than the logo I put on the show recently.
Yeah, we got to redo the logos, guys.
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, yeah. So if you don't know the logo drama, we did design... We had a wonderful logo designed, and it's beautiful.
And I love it.
It's wonderful. We had my good friend, who's a graphic designer, she worked on it. She's fantastic, incredibly talented.
We have to assume she didn't see what we ultimately saw, or she would have said
something.
Well,
we didn't either.
And yeah. I still don't... When it's on a screen, a digital screen,
it looks great.
On the stickers, it looks good.
Now, friends and neighbors who are listening, it's a column still. And to some of us...
It's a combo.
Yes.
Pot, column, still sort of set up.
To those of us of the male persuasion...
It takes on a certain silhouette.
Yes, of something we would all be familiar with.
And we didn't notice until we put it on a t-shirt with a particular color combination. Mm-hmm. And
it's an erectile projectile.
Yes.
So we're going to redesign the logo.
So we bit phallic.
Yes.
I don't know how I didn't notice that.
I don't either, but it wasn't until we put it on the shirt that it really stood out.
Yeah.
Until it was right there on the chest. So we're going to redesign the logo. That's in the works for 2023.
If you'd like to see that, I defiantly wore that in a few videos recently. So.
And it's hilarious.
It is to me.
We also have a lot of stickers, which I'm happy to send out to people.
Stickers don't... Again, I think if it was the shirt was a darker color that was close to the color of the combo pot column still, that's what drew it out.
It really jumped out. Yeah. It did. Yeah. Well, goals for 2023.
Live and learn.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Anyway, so we've got the podcast up and rolling. We've got Friday Sips Live, which is just a lot of fun, and I would encourage you all to come join us on Fridays, ask questions, drink with us.
When is that? What time on Fridays?
Friday, 2:30 Mountain Daylight Time.
It's not daylight anymore.
Well,
it's
Mountain Standard Time.
Whatever the middle part is, it's the Mountain Time.
Denver time.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2:30 Friday. Be there. It's a lot of fun. We have a good crew that hangs out with us from all over the country drinking with us. And we drink bobbles and we tell you if it's good or not and if we like it or not. And then we tell silly jokes and make fun of each other.
Yes. And then who knows, you might get some samples of said bottles.
Yeah. We do tend to do that.
Some of those folks have sent us some heck of a samples too.
It's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. So we're two-way
street.
So we got that going. We do have a website.
Thepracticalstill.com.
Yeah.
You can find everything there. You can find these podcast episodes. You can find all the videos. And the Friday Sips Live is not the only video content. Mm-hmm. We're still putting out a few back to the bottle, open the bottle. So first impressions, and then after we live with it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good content.
Yeah. We also have, so this is my favorite one. We have an Instagram page, which does not have a lot of followers, but and we don't post as frequently as we should, but we post something very important.
We do.
Once a week.
And sometimes we actually post it correctly.
Let's talk about that. Why are we doing that?
Well, so
we should talk what it is
first. On Fridays, we certainly could drink all the whiskey. It's just not responsible.
Mm-mm.
And so we have what's called a dump glass. And we sip a little bit, and if we've poured too much, because one of us has a habit of pouring really fat pours for this, and it's the same person that pours all the whiskey on Fridays, so because he's right next to the pour can.
I'm not sure who that would be.
It's you.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I can't drink Dan pours and be able to recover in a couple hours and go home.
Dan pours or man pours?
So that's the dump glass. Yeah. And I don't remember why. At some point, there was just a challenge to drink the dump glass.
I think I just said drink the dump glass,
Sometimes it's just as awful as you think it is, and every once in a while it's not so bad.
Yeah.
But we drink it, and we do that on Instagram after we finish Friday Sips Live.
Yeah. You've had a run of pretty good ones, actually.
Yeah, and actually the one I did, I forget, was I here? It was the time I brought the Kentucky Owl.
Oh, yeah.
That was quite a fine dump glass. Yeah. I'd buy a bottle of that any day of the week. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's our saliva that makes the dump glass it's so good.
That's the special sauce in the dump glass.
Anyway, follow us on The Practical Still. YouTube, also.
Everywhere.
Practical Still.
Yeah. Everywhere at The Practical Still. And again, not all we're doing. If you're into bicycles, slowguy on thefastride.com, dawnpatrolmtb.com, all the associated handles and such. Check that out.
We're building our media empire.
Yes. Yeah. One sip at a time. That's another t-shirt right there.
There you go. All right.
Dan, this has been fun.
Yeah, cheers.